Have a letter of the Rebbe in volume 5. This is letter number 1281, dated the 8th day of Kislev. Baruch Hashem, Ches Kislev, Tashjid Beis, Brooklyn, New York, Shalom Avrocha. The Rebbe is responding on a letter that came before Rosh Hashanah. Now, this is already Kislev, so it's been 3 months. Tishrei Cheshvin, and 2 months and something. So the Rebbe says that because of my many occupations of the eve of the month of Tishrei and the month of Tishrei, my letter has been delayed up till now. Also, it seems that he asked the Rebbe a question with regards to a matter of learning. I guess it wasn't a pressing matter that the guy couldn't live without it. We once had a letter, so it's a letter of the Rebbe. The Rebbe says that I'm debating sometimes, you know, what do I do first? Because the Rebbe is so pressured for time. Do I answer somebody something which is very important to them? Or do I look over a teaching for that the public can use? You know, this is what the struggles the Rebbe had to make decisions. So the Rebbe says, number one, you make a note about the cantillation, the trup of the Torah, if it's fitting to read, how should you read? I guess the guy is teaching or learning. How is it fitting to read the verse? Should you go by the simple meaning of the verse, or you should go by the cantillations? So he says that in general, he says he didn't have a question. The question was about one particular case, and only in that case there's a question, because based on the rules of the trope of the timim in the pasuk, the trope needed to be in a different way than they are, because one rule push it in the other one. I'm not sure exactly. I remember we had a letter. This is a follow-up to a previous letter that we actually discussed in volume 4, I believe. But the Rebbe says like this, the answer. This is Rebbe's answer. The Rebbe says, the rules for the trope, the rules for the timing, as I wrote you in the previous letter, are not, most of the time, are not by tradition. They're not something which has been passed along by tradition. But rather, they are the man-made. That generally, by searching the trope in the psukim, that in order to answer, they found various contradictions between various places, which in one place there's one trope and the other place the other trope. So in order to justify that, to sort of make sense of it, so they came up with certain rules how to explain it. So, therefore, if a other person is able, who looks into this matter, and he can find another rule which is going to justify, which is going to answer all the questions differently, so then the previous rule may not even be a rule. The Rebbe is basically saying that the rules are not etched in stone. They are not by tradition. They are just, thank you, They are just man-made rules, and therefore they could change. And you might hold on to the rule that this new person came up. It's okay. If you found a way, it's okay. The Rebbe says this is self-understood, that this is only in most of the rules that we have for the trope. Most of them are not by tradition. However, there are a few of them that are founded on the holy mountains, which are by tradition. Those can be touched. As it's known that there are some rules of the grammar, the digduk, and also of the cantillation, of the trope, of the singing, which are based on the wisdom of the Kabbalah, on the esoteric part. But as opposed to the oral Torah, which has been given over to the judgment of the mind of the sages of the Torah. So what does it come out from all the above? That even in this particular case that you are questioning, in my opinion, it is clear that you have to read it according to the trop. Number two, more than all the above. Even, so in other words, the Rebbe is saying, if you have a rule that, I guess he had a rule that was interfering with the trop the way it is, and the Rebbe says, go by the trop, because the rules are not, that's what it seems like. Number two, the Rebbe says, more than all the above. Even if those rules would have been by tradition from Moshe Mitzrayim, behold, since also the detail, this detail, that one rule is pushed away because of another rule, that is also by Moshe Mitzrayim, and that is that in a certain case, it has to be like the other one. So then it also has to be done in that way, seeing it in that way. As I suggested before, in my previous letter, from the Zohar, that the Taimim were given to sing with them the Pesukim, they are like the soul and a neshama for the body. So the body is the letters and the song is the soul. But basically the Rebbe says, if it's all by tradition, so it's possible. The reason it's written like that is that it was also tradition, even though most of the time it gets pushed away. But if it's different over here, maybe that's the tradition. So there is really not a reason not to do it the way it is, even though it is in contradiction, is in conflict with another general rule. It doesn't matter, because then maybe that's the rule over here as well. As a third support branch for the above is, it's articulated elsewhere that you should sing not as it's written, with a pashto zarko, with lisha ktano, which are always on the end of the word, with atlisha gedoyla, which is always at the head of the word. So it appears that there's nothing else. It's hard to know exactly what he's talking about, but the Rebbe says that the cantillation, the pashto and azarko and atlisha ketano, those are three cantillations. They're always on the end of the word, even if the pronunciation would be elsewhere, and the Tlisha Gedoyla is always in the beginning. So in other words, most of the time you can learn the emphasis, how to emphasize a word, because you see where it's situated, the trope where it's situated. But there's certain tropes where it's always on the beginning and the end, and that doesn't tell you, I guess. So that would tell you that there is nothing else, so probably it applies to that case. Yeah. Your fourth question is, why is one rule stronger than the other one, that is being pushed away and not the otherwise? I mean, why does one rule override the other one? So it says, as mentioned earlier, these rules have been based upon the foundation of what they found. They saw in this pasuk like that, and that forced them, those who are looking, the medagdikim, and those who are doing the tropes, to include a rule that when you have two rules that are contradicting, so then we see from the pasuk which one is takes precedent and push away. But the Rebbe says, maybe in simply saying is, maybe the reason why one pushes away is because the song comes out easier, smoother, it's more beautiful that way. Number five, why did I not mention the discussion in the Talmud of Nedarim, which talks about the Taimim? The answer to this is in my letter that I pointed to the Svarim that brought down the Pekus Soda, in which also explains the Gemara Nedarim necessary. So basically the guy is sort of saying to the Rebbe, he's saying, how come the Rebbe didn't show him the piece of the Talmud? But the Rebbe told you, I pointed to the commentary that explains that whole piece of the Talmud. So I didn't forget the piece of the Talmud. Okay, now, number six. The Rebbe says, I was very shocked to read at the end, at the bottom of your letter, that it's been more than a year that you have stopped your occupation in education. Only occasionally, and in a way that it should not trouble you. As you write, only in great occasional times. I'm surprised, the Rebbe says, how could you nowadays, and in a place where you find yourself, that there's so many Jewish children in danger of a spiritual shmad, God forbid, let it never happen, how could you stand by on the side and not to occupy yourself with the full force and strength? Look, think by yourself, the Rebbe says. If a person is standing at the edge of the river and he's learning a deep analysis in a Talmudic thing, will you really love? And you see that there's somebody drowning in the river. So what are you going to do? You're just going to continue, stay, watch the person drown because you're busy studying something very deep? So for sure, you'll interrupt your learning and you're going to occupy yourself with saving lives. And you can also be trusting that Hashem will be in your help in the fact that you're doing what's good and right in His eyes. Now, I realize what the rabbis say with regards to Mordechai, that when he took up the court after the story of Purim, it says that only majority of his brothers, of the people of Sanhedrin, were happy. Some of them weren't happy that he left that occupation. Especially, the Rebbe says, we know, we've been promised by an Alter Rebbe, who was a genius, not only Hasidus, but also in the reveal part. He promised in his Sefer, in the beginning of Torah, that when you occupy yourself with charity, which means teaching somebody else, then your own mind and your own heart becomes purified. They become refined 1,000 times as much. And it's understood that the book of Torah isn't the book of Melitzei, so just nice talks over there. It literally means as its meaning, that you will be successful in your study 1,000 times as much. And therefore, it's very simple. It's not a loss of learning when you help somebody else, but on the contrary, you gain through the work of saving lives. That your study in the little bit of time will have the support from Hashem, and you'll be successful in your study of Torah 1,000 times as much. I don't need to prolong about this, because all these matters are very well known, and for sure you will correct after you will reflect again on this. May Hashem lead you in the true way, which is also the way of our Torah, the true Torah and the living Torah. As the festival of Chagachagim, Yutis Kislev, that is coming upon up, I'm attaching hereby the pamphlet and the Kuntres for Yutis Kislev with a copy of the general letter, Michtav Akloli, that belongs to it, with blessings. This is a follow-up to the letter of 1104 in volume 4 that we studied.